Hey everybody, this is Alex from RedLemonClub.com. You are listening to episode number 9 of the Red Lemon Show. We are moving ahead at full pelt. And let me tell you something, it's been one of those days for me. I've had I've just not been feeling it today, and it happens usually one day out of the week where I'm just not quite as productively motivated as I can be. And this is perfect because I just got recently asked a question by a Red Lemon who said, how do I write when I'm not feeling it, when I'm not in the mood to write? And how do any of us create anything when we're not in the mood? And I try and put out a short 10-minute video. I just did it before this podcast. I try and put out a daily video now as a new thing, just to get a bit more content out there and get my ugly mug out into the world. And I gotta say, I'm not used to video. I'm really a writer by trade and an illustrator, and I'm usually hiding behind things rather than sort of being pushed in front of things. So I found it, wasn't in the mood, to say the least. Just wasn't up for it. Was getting quite frustrated, kept doing retakes, and just wasn't in that flow. And you've probably been there before as well. But I did it. I just put the camera on, sat down, and just said what was there, and I tried to be as honest as possible, and it came out as quite a decent video. Obviously there's plenty of scope for improvement, but I was quite chuffed with just getting it done. But it taught me a lot, and I wanted to touch on this idea of doing the work when we don't feel like it, because I think it's a very, very important aspect of the creative life, and being an entrepreneur and being someone who's a bit of a self-starter and has to kick themselves up the arse to get moving, and there's no one else around to tell you what to do. You might be working for an employer, but you might be doing something on the side that involves you pushing yourself to do the work. And it's not always easy. It doesn't always feel like the right moment to start. And this is a question that comes up a lot with other creatives. It's difficult to do the work that we need to do when we don't feel like it, especially. And so I wanted to go over a few points that have really helped me in terms of the way that I think about these things. Hang on a sec, I've just got an update popped up on my computer. I need to stop that. I wanted to talk about a few points that have come up that have helped me think about the whole thing in a different way and reframe it so that things become more manageable, at least, even if it's still not easy and it's still a hurdle to climb. Before we go into that, I wanted to push you over to redlemonclub.com. Actually, I don't really want to send you there now, but if you finish this and you have nothing else to do, go to redlemonclub.com to look at some of the other articles I've written. The shop is also up there now. It's been launched. There's a range of very cool products, from t-shirts to signed copies of my Colour Joining the Dots book, which is definitely worth looking into because it's a limited run, and I will stop that run as soon as it's sold out and there's only a few hundred copies left. Make sure you get a copy of that signed as well. There is even a clock on there and a pair of socks if you're in the need for a pair of socks. So redlemonclub.com, you can click the shop link or just go to redlemonclub.shop and you will find that. I will be adding new products there over time as well, including the planner that I keep talking about that isn't quite ready yet, and I'm really frustrated that it's not there yet, but it's really, really close to being done. The other thing I wanted to mention was the featured creative today is another illustrator, but one of the few people that sent me an email. So very, very happy to include Finny Tabuada. And it just so happens that she does very, very good work. I really love these watercolors and characters, and she's quite clever with the subject matter. There's quite a breadth of stuff here, but it's the colors and stuff are really, really cool. And the style is very accomplished. And she is on Instagram. She's an Argentinian illustrator, but also teaches. But you will find her, and I recommend you go and have a look. Instagram.com/ Finny Tabuada. So FINITABOADA. Well worth a look. And she is today's featured creative. If you are interested in being featured in upcoming podcasts, do send an email to shoutout@redlemonclub.com. That's shoutout@redlemonclub.com. I look through all my emails and I will take a look through the list of suggested creatives, including yourself. And you can also recommend people if you want as well. So going back into the main featured content for today, I wanted to talk about how to get over that slump of not feeling it, not being in the mood to create when we know that we need to. So first of all, why do we need to create and why do we need to show up so often? Well, this is the key really to developing your craft. This is the most important thing. It's being able to have the strength to show up and do the work even if we don't feel like it. So this is one of the biggest challenges, and it might seem to the outsider, to someone who hasn't been in the trenches of creating art, as something that is not so significant, maybe, you know. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it doesn't really compare to getting your finances in order and focusing on the client and figuring out your target market and all the clever and technical aspects of running a business. But this, for me, is really the toughest aspect, is getting into that headspace that allows you to just get on with it, get the work done. Because a lot of people, when they think of creativity, they think, okay, that they need to be in this kind of artistic flow, this mindset of like just completely relaxed and into it and ready for it to be able to create good work. But actually, a lot of the best creative work that I've done started off with me thinking, bloody hell, I want to get out of here. I'm not in the mood for this. I want to escape. I want to watch Netflix. I want to watch TV. I don't want to be here. But then overcoming that initial hurdle and creating some good stuff. But again, we need to be showing up, because it's that accumulation of showing up at your desk every day to do the writing, or showing up every day to do the music, that is going to sort the wheat from the chaff. It's what's going to separate those of us who fall by the wayside and don't make much of what we can do. We're not going to be able to reach the full potential if we don't show up with consistency, not only in developing our skills, but also in putting enough material out there to help market ourselves. And it also applies to all the other aspects of the business that we need to run, including reaching out to clients and doing all the promotional stuff. That's all part of this, so that all applies. But really what I'm talking about in this episode is dealing with not feeling like doing the creative stuff, because the creative work is the fuel of your entire business. And I always say that one of the legs of the tripod that make up your business, your creative business, is A, being creatively productive. That's crucial. Then there is building up a newsletter and a following, and a social media following and all that stuff, so building up an audience. And then 3, those one-to-one connections, those one-to-one individual connections that you make with people. Those are the 3 legs I see as being crucial to a successful and thriving creative career. So that first leg we are addressing today: how do you maintain that creative power, that creative mode, the productivity behind creating all the work that we need to create? We want to create a lot, for the marketing side, but also for developing our skills, for adding to our portfolio and developing our style, and creating something good at the end of the day. So how do we get in the mood? Well, let's go through all the points that I have in mind that I want to talk about in a little bit more depth. First of all, we've got to expect a lot of the creative work and a lot of I guess the experience associated with being an artist and being creative, we've got to expect it not to always be dandy the whole time. It's gonna be sucky a lot of the time. And actually, I'd even say that most of the time that we sit down to do the work, we're not gonna feel like it. It's not gonna feel right. We're gonna be tired. We're gonna be bored. We're gonna feel frustrated. We're gonna be angry. We're gonna be furious. We're not going to want to be there sometimes. Sometimes it comes easy, and sometimes, yes, we do want to sit there and do art, and I'm not surprised at that either. Art can be fun, but sometimes, especially when we have a schedule, when we've committed to showing up every day and we've committed to creating content, a lot of the times it just doesn't feel right. And I think the mistake is in thinking that we need to be feeling perfect in order to create great stuff, whereas in actual fact, it's about expecting that a lot of it will be uncomfortable, and a lot of the times we won't feel like it, and then overcoming that resistance. And many people talk about the resistance and how difficult it is for a lot of artists, especially writers, and the writer's block and all that stuff. It's a big challenge. But if we can expect a lot of it to not be comfortable, and if we can expect there to be a lot of resistance, then it becomes a lot easier to kind of accept that negative emotion. And I found this really, really helpful. If I expect it to be really easy, then if I experience discomfort, then I'm going to resist the discomfort, if you see what I mean. If I expect it and I know that it's part of the process, then I'm just going to let it kind of wash through me. And that's the crucial thing. It's being able to allow those negative feelings and that discomfort and that boredom to sit with you, and you to sit with it, and to just sort of let it wash through you and let it pass. And then you're in the void. This is what I call the void. You're in that kind of space of nothingness. This is where creativity is born. And you only really get to the void once you've been through that that moment, that period of feeling crappy. So expect it to be uncomfortable. Let it kind of wash over you. Develop that skill of dealing with negative feelings, and get good at kind of sitting there with it. This is something that I've had to develop over many years. I'm not saying I'm an expert at it now, but it also goes kind of hand in hand with meditation and stuff. And meditation is a great tool to teach you how to get through negative feelings. Get good at and see this as part of the process of being a skilled and successful creative, which is to get good, become an expert at handling and sitting with discomfort and seeing it as part and parcel of the creative life. And then you'll be able to kind of get into the flow more quickly. You'll be resisting reality less. You will be kind of accepting the pain. You'll be accepting the fear that you feel. And that's where the creative process starts. And then you need to allow yourself to make mistakes. And actually, I might even suggest that you seek to make mistakes initially. So if you're sitting there and you need to write something, you need to write an article, and the deadline's approaching, and you don't feel like writing, and you've got no ideas coming up, just write crap for 1,000 words, 2,000 words. Write absolute rubbish. Give yourself permission to write rubbish. And this will apply to other creative fields as well. If you're a photographer, maybe spend an hour running around the city taking the worst pictures you can stomach to take. Or if you're a singer, sing really badly for a bit. I know that it sounds stupid, but this is all about giving yourself permission to make mistakes. And then you will find that the gold comes out of that. It's when you allow yourself to make mistakes, finally you can kind of relax into it. That's where the creativity starts to flourish. And this is what I found today with my video. Like, I was really pent up and really not ready to do it because I wanted it to be good. I want to be good at videos. I want to leapfrog over those initial 100, 200 videos of crap. But of course, that's not going to happen. And it might come quicker than I hope. But I want things to be really good. So I seize up, and I don't allow myself to make mistakes. So when I do make a mistake, I get frustrated, and it kind of throws everything out of kilter. Whereas when I just say, okay, I'm going to just say whatever comes to mind, I'm going to relax, I'm going to drop my shoulders, I'm going to not be so self-judgmental, that's when the honesty came out, and that's when the video, the speech I made for the video actually turned out to be all right. And that will apply to everything else that you do. So allow yourself to make crap, and that's part of the process. You need to build in that initial stage of bad work, or playful work, or experimental work, work that involves screwing up a lot of pieces of paper and chucking it in the bin. That's all part of that process. So if you skip that, then fantastic. But really, you need to be expecting it to be uncomfortable, and you need to allow yourself to make mistakes and enjoy that process. It's kind of like the foreplay that comes before the really heavy creative work, if you see what I mean. So create crap and be okay with it. Rejoice in it. Enjoy it. Your body will then relax. You'll start to have your subconscious mind maybe deliver better ideas. And you will start to get into that momentum that will lead to much better work. So that's a big learning. That's something that I learned that was really, really useful for my creative work. So whenever I wasn't feeling it, then I just allowed myself to create absolute rubbish for a bit, and that would always turn into better stuff. So when I need to write, I will write 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 words of utter rubbish, and that will always lead to a few ideas that I can then turn into something better and expand on that. And then of course comes the editing stage after that. So it's kind of like three stages: writing crap, expanding on an idea from that crap that was good, and then editing down that final piece into the final article. And that can apply to all your other creative projects as well. The other thing is that really helped me is understanding that when you are facing a challenge creatively or in any aspect of life, really, anything that involves resistance and you not wanting to do it and you not wanting to be there, you've got to realize how significant that is for your own self-growth. Understand how important it is for you stretching as a person, and then the significance of what and then what that's going to mean for your value as a creative. It's the moments where you are finding it easy that are going to be great, but you're not necessarily stretching that much. It's actually the moments where you don't feel like it, and then overcoming those moments that are going to lead to the biggest results for you in your career. So for today, for me to do the video, even though it was like a 10-minute thing, for me to have gone from really just wanting to throw the camera across the room in a rage to doing it and sort of sucking it up and feeling that frustration inside, but then still doing it, finishing it, publishing it, that was one of the best things I could have done all week for my career. Even though it felt messy, it felt chaotic, it felt like it wasn't delivered very well, it didn't feel perfect, that is the gold right there. It's being able to overcome those moments of challenge that are going to stretch you rapidly. It's surges of self-growth that happen when you overcome those challenges. So see those moments for the significant moments that they are. I think a lot of the times we have trouble doing what we know that we need to do. So we know that we need to make a new illustration to add to our collection or to add to Instagram to keep the content going out, for example, but some days we just don't feel like it. What happens is that we don't see it as significant enough, right? So we see it as like, okay, if we don't do it today, then we can always do it tomorrow. We can just watch Netflix tonight and just leave it for a day. You know, it's not significant. It's not that big a deal. Whereas actually, you need to realize the value of it. You need to see its value as clearly as you can. And the way to see that value is to know that if you're not feeling like doing it, by doing it, you're going to grow tremendously in that moment, in that day. You're going to surge ahead. And it's going to add to your strength as a creative. And it's the people that are not able to deal with those barriers who are not going to grow. They're going to fall back and fall back and fall back. Whereas you, if you keep pushing past that resistance and doing it, you're going to be surging ahead. So you can make huge gains through those seemingly insignificant moments. And especially like the moments where you feel, oh, I'm not in the mood and don't feel like it, I'm bored. That's crucial right there. Those moments where you think it's insignificant and it doesn't matter if you don't do it, that's when you need to do it the most. Does that make sense? The art most worth doing, the creative work that you must do, is ideally really in those moments where you least want to do it, because then you are you're addressing a real challenge there, and you're going to be growing the most significantly, even if it's like a 10-minute thing. And of course these moments accumulate into, you know, a mesh of moments that create genius, or at least the perceived genius that the general public will see in you, because you've managed to grow through these little tiny steps, seemingly insignificant steps that are actually very significant. And that's the thing about creative career and business in general, is that success is never an overnight thing. It's never a result of a big break. It might seem like someone's offered someone an amazing opportunity and that was their big break, like winning the lottery or something, but it's never that. If you look at the track records of all the big names, the Picassos, the Michael Jordans, the Michael Jacksons, all of these people went through, and we've heard it a lot before, they went through, you know, years and years and hundreds of thousands of steps of those moments where they probably didn't feel like it. But those moments were so significant because they honed those people into the people that they became. You know, super high value and super sought after and worth a lot of money. And that's what's going to happen to you if you can continue to see these moments as hugely significant. Even if they're short-lived, even if it's just like 10 minutes of the day to just do a quick drawing, these things really, really matter. So seeing them for the significant moments that they are is crucial. And understanding that if you can get past the barrier, something that is uncomfortable, then you'll know that there's for every one person that can overcome a hurdle that is difficult, like showing up every day. I mean, that alone, showing up consistently and doing a video every day, for example, very few people can do that in the long run, because there's such a barrier to that. There's so much discomfort that comes from that. But understand that it's the people that can overcome those barriers. Basically, those barriers being there mean that you've got success on the other side of that barrier. Do you know what I mean? So many people are going to fail, but you will succeed if you can overcome those barriers. And if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. So understand that the barriers to entry are what separate the weak from the chaff. I know that it's a silly cliche, but you need to see that barrier is everything. If you can overcome it, you're gonna separate yourself from the herd in a big way. And that's exciting in itself, knowing that is a big strategy to doing well, is being able to understand that pain and irritation and frustration is part of it. And if you can handle that, then you're gonna do so well. What else? Think about it all in terms of numbers as well. A lot of us get very, very hung up on the quality aspect of the creative work, and that's one of the big contributors, I think, to why we don't do the work when we don't feel like it, because we think that we need to be in the best mindset, we need to be feeling great and happy and in the flow to do the work, because that's what's going to lead to the quality. But actually, it's the quantity. It's knowing that this is a numbers game. It's knowing that this is a game of accumulation that is going to help you do the work when you don't feel like it. Because you'll know that as a numbers game, every little piece counts. Doesn't matter how perfect it is. It's the fact that you've shown up and you've overcome the challenge and you've done it that is creating that accumulation that is going to lead to incredible value. sorry, I keep losing my voice. So it's that accumulation of those hurdles and doing the work, showing up, that's going to lead to tremendous value, okay? As opposed to occasionally doing something that's really, really good, really, really high quality, maybe once a month or once a week or whatever it is. That's okay, but you're not going to stretch as much as a person. And really what this all comes down to is how the artist stretches. Because when you can stretch, you're going to open up your mind to higher levels of... I mean, this is getting a little bit surreal and woo-woo here, but this is what I really believe in, is the more you stretch as an artist through these challenges that you overcome, the more... the greater the access you have mentally to higher realms of creativity, higher levels of connection with nature, the universe, reality, This is why we stand in awe at some of the incredible pieces of art that we see around the world. We think, how did this person get to this? It's because they've stretched through years of working at it and dealing with resistance. You will be rewarded creatively for getting through those moments of frustration, even if it's like a seemingly kind of like insignificant moment where it's just like, oh, I don't really feel like it, I'm gonna watch TV. Yeah, that's the moment. You got to get back to the drawing board, you got to do it. All right, listener, it makes sense. So every little thing matters, every little moment matters, because it's going to elevate you rapidly each time. And that's what's going to open up higher realms of creativity for you as well. Your subconscious, your brain, whatever it is, your muse, whatever it is, it's going to reward you. The more you stay with it, the more focused you are, the more you have faith in your creative work. So hopefully those ideas make you think about things maybe in a slightly different way and excite you for dealing with it, doing the work. Forgive me, it's very late here and I'm a bit exhausted and I'm losing my voice, but let's see here. So think of it as a numbers game. See the significance of each moment and see how important it is for your self-growth and how important self-growth is for your own creative capacity. Expect mistakes to happen and allow them to happen in the early stages of the creative process, and expect it to be uncomfortable. These are all things that you can kind of absorb into your mindset to make it a lot easier. The other thing, of course, is having an exciting goal or two in the future. I know that a lot of people are a little bit anti-goal, and people say, "Oh, you should have just like you should focus on the process and the journey and the system, and forget about the goal because the goal makes you feel inadequate because you're not there yet." I don't know about that. I think having a goal is, or at least a vision of what could be, because it's important to have direction. You need something to aim for. Otherwise, you're not going to have a system. You're not going to have a journey. There's no journey without a destination. So you need both. Okay, you need a goal. You need something exciting to aim for. You need, whether it be getting that dream client, or getting featured in, or being exhibited in some amazing gallery, or whatever it is. It's definitely worth having that to aim for. But I mean, here's the kicker though. If you've got an exciting goal or a dream, don't be too attached to it. Have the goal in front of you, write it down every day, but then use that goal to then direct you back to the present, back to focusing on the system, on the journey right now. Because both are important, the goal and the system. But don't be too hung up on the goal. So don't. A lot of people get, you know, they turn off goals because they get so depressed about not hitting them. Don't worry about that. Just use the goal to help you be facing in the right direction and get excited about something. Use it to get excited, to then work on those things in the present. So having exciting goals that stretch you a little bit, that are slightly unreasonable, those are the best ones. You know, the ones that kind of beckon you out of your comfort zone a little bit. Because then you start entering the realm of it's almost the dream world, but it's exciting because it's not, you're out of the mundane every day. You're looking outwards a little bit, and it's sometimes good to look at the bigger picture. We can get caught up in the everyday mundane stuff, and you forget, you know, why are we doing this? Why do I need to do this? So having a goal gives you a really exciting kind of forward moving, a forward pointing reason why you're doing something. There are many other reasons why you could be doing things, and the why is very important. So figure out all the you might have to list them down. You know, what are the reasons why you're doing the art? List those things down. You know, is it to support your family? Is it to, you know, help you become more connected to the world? Is it to help you feel more alive? Is it to help you make more money? All these things are important. They're significant. So make sure that you're aware of those reasons why. And you want to have a goal, an exciting goal to move towards. It might evolve over time, but at any given stage, it's always motivating, I find, to have a fun, interesting, exciting goal that will stretch you, because that's what's going to inform your day to day, and it's going to help give a bit of clout to the action that you take every single day. So have exciting goals. That's another big one. There's another thing that I think I'm going to close on, and perhaps it'll wrap everything together into a final tidy bow. Which is the idea that, I'm not sure where I read this, but there's this idea that, everyone talks about needing to do what they love. So, do what you love, the money will come, all that kind of stuff, which is a lovely idea. But I think a lot of people take the label too literally. I think it was Steve Jobs that also said, you need to do what you love, because there are going to be moments where it's going to be difficult. The process is going to be hard. So by doing things that you love, it'll keep you going, which is true. But do what you know. Focus on what you love. So people take that and they think, okay, I'm gonna do what I love, and then they do it, whether that be painting or some hobby or some business that they want to start. And then they realize that it's not all fun. They realize that it's tough, even though they're doing bits of it that is fun. And then they quit, because they said, oh no, I was going to do something that I loved, but it wasn't 100% fun or enjoyable. So I realized that wasn't for me. That wasn't my. It can't have been my passion. So I moved on to the next shiny object. And yeah, that's silly, folks, because there's nothing that's going to be 100% enjoyable. Anything worth pursuing will feature a lot of challenge, just like in the same way that I described the significance of the creative challenge. It's so important, because that's the thing that's going to grow you, and that's the thing that's going to lead to more powerful creative insights that will kind of contribute to an ongoing positive feedback loop. So going back to the thing about doing what you love, it's possible to do something that you love. Let me put it a different way. You don't need to love something to love it. You don't need to love something to love it. So the thing that you do could be 80% discomfort and 20% love. But the entire package could still be something that you love, and you can describe that to your friends as, this is what I love, even though there's a lot of pain in it, even though there's a lot of challenge in it. And when you can see that and understand that that's okay, then you'll be buzzing, then you'll be doing it, and it really helps. So don't expect everything to be dandy. Expect there to be some pain. See the power in the pain. See the power in the struggle. See the significance of the struggle. It all ties together. And it's okay to do something, whether that be start a business, build an empire, build a side business, become known for some creative pursuit, become known as an artist. It's okay for a lot of it to suck. You can still love it if a lot of it sucks. Because the growth, the self-growth that comes from overcoming those challenges, that's where the aliveness will come, and that's what it's all about. It's not about self-gratification through doing stuff that you love. That's kind of selfish. It's actually more about doing something that features a lot of the stuff that you enjoy, and that's fine. That's key. You want to choose something that is going to that's going to feature a lot of stuff that you already like and you know that you're going to be attracted to. That's good. But a lot of it won't be fun. But a lot of it will lead to self-growth. And it's that entire package that you can see as your love. So yes, do what you love, but expect a lot of it to be painful. So that brings us back to the beginning, which is, how do you deal with not feeling like it when you need to do the creative work? And a lot of it just will suck. But I hope that these points have got you thinking about the creative process maybe in a slightly different way. They certainly have helped me, and I I bring a lot of these to mind when I'm sitting down to do my writing or to do these podcasts or to do the videos. I think about these things, and it absolutely helps to reframe things through these points. So, hope that helped, guys. Please do send me feedback. Let me know how I'm doing. I'm obviously still new to podcasting. This is all fairly new. Do I talk too fast? Does it make sense? Let me know if you've got any questions for upcoming podcasts. Happy to look through them. I read through all my comments. So send that through to my email, alex@redlemonclub.com, or comment beneath wherever you're watching this or listening to this. And follow this podcast, subscribe to it, share this with your friends if you found this useful and you've got creative friends you think could benefit from this. Email this to your friends. Go to redlemonclub.com and sign up to the newsletter if you haven't already. There is a free book that I give away for every subscriber, but not only that, you will receive ongoing updates and bonus content that you won't get on the blog. You will get notified of any new podcasts that are coming out and new articles and stuff like that. So make sure that you're signed up to the newsletter. And also there's the Slack group, the online community that we've got building, featuring lots of different types of creatives from all corners of the creative sphere, from designers to painters to coders and sculptors and everyone in between. Go to redlemonclub.com/Slack, S-L-A-C-K. It's a Slack online sort of forum where we can chat with each other, hold each other accountable for goals, share advice, inspire each other, and that kind of stuff. Very, very well worth joining that community, especially if you find yourself a little bit isolated as a creative like so many of us do. Hope that helped, guys. Pleasure to talk to you as always, and I will see you in the next one. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.